Here is Robbie Savage. It's great to have you on. You're redefining what great punditry is. Thanks for making the time to be on with us here in Toronto.
If I'm half as good as you, Greg, I'll be a decent pundit.
Like, don't let Ian Wright conquer America before you get a chance to. Ian's got a little head start. You can honestly come up and clip him on the back, like when he's coming into the penalty area.
Ian Wright is a fantastic broadcaster. I believe he's doing exceptionally well, you know, over there. But you know, I've got a in West Van, Greg. West Van in Vancouver. Believe it or not.
Oh, I did not know that.
An edge on Wright on that one. Yeah.
You'll own the Whitecaps someday. Then that's my prediction. MLS owner, if Bex can do it, you can too. MLS ownership. That's the way to go. I thought England was great yesterday. Am I in the minority opinion? I thought their first half was excellent. It took some getting into rhythm. I thought the Tunisian penalty was ridiculous. I can be the biggest England skeptic there is. Last Euro against Slovakia, I heard you going to town. Everybody went to town. That wasn't a good tournament. I loved how they played yesterday. I just didn't think they were finishing. I thought they could have won that 5-1, 6-1.
Yeah, begrudgingly, as a Welshman, I've got to say, the way England started, they started very well. They were dynamic. They were on the front foot. They were causing Tunisia all kinds of problems. Their finishing wasn't very good. And then they took the lead. I'm with you, Greg. It was never a penalty, I don't believe. And then what Tunisia did when they equalised, they put 10 men behind the ball, and England found it difficult to break them down. But that man, as you've alluded to, Harry Kane, 2 goals, first game as captain in the World Cup for his country, you know. But I was in a pub last night watching a game with some fans, and you know, they were celebrating like they'd won the World Cup. They beat Tunisia, and they've got the might of Panama to come. Who's this to start?
Robbie, England's the only team in this entire World Cup where their entire roster is from their domestic league. Does that play up in England? Do people talk about that?
No, I think what a lot of people talk about is in England is more opportunities for the youngsters and the youngsters to progress into, you know, the England national side. Now we see of, you know, the Premier League is for me the best league in the world. We see people coming from, you know, Italy, Spain, and they enhance the Premier League, but that limits the opportunity for the youngsters. You look at the youth teams in England, they've got some fantastic, you know, players like England at all levels, under 17 and the 19 have won World Cups, but they don't seem to progress into the first team. So, you know, I think maybe that will change in the future. But you know, England as a whole, you know, I watched the last Euros as Greg just mentioned, where they were poor against Slovakia, went out to Iceland, you know, but I was cheering Wales on in that one, got to the semi-finals, topped England's group. But this is an opportunity now, you know. I've watched the World Cup, as have you guys, and I think it's wide open. Nobody's really impressed. Mexico were great. I thought Peru were unlucky to lose. Brazil weren't convincing. You know, Germany got beat, the holders. So I think it's an opportunity for somebody like Leicester City winning the Premier League, like Greece won the Euros many years ago, and Denmark. It's an opportunity, I think, for England, you know, to progress far in the competition.
Does Belgium have that England feel to it, Robbie, that Belgian fans, and George mentioned this, really pumped up for 2016? And we've all seen De Bruyne, and we've all seen Kompany and some excellent players. I was at the Euros in Belgium when they hosted it with Holland, and they weren't near the talented squad they are a decade and a half later. But expectations are, and Lukaku, obviously, the expectations are super high now, for higher than they've ever been for kind of a small footballing nation, right?
Yeah, you know, I was at the game when Wales beat Belgium so convincingly. Mark Wilmots was the manager. They had a fantastic team of individuals, but that's what they played like. You know, what Roberto Martinez has done, he's got those individuals playing as a collective. You know, I think they're a far better side now with the same group of players individually, you know, on paper. They've probably got one of the best squads in the competition. Good start for them, beating Panama 3-0. And I think when it comes to the last group game, both Belgium and England will have 6 points, you know, and it's on that game who tops the group. But whoever tops the group, Greg, it's going to be difficult because, you know, you could lose, you could come second, and you could have a hard, you know, an easier game than the team that finishes top. So, but I think Belgium have an opportunity. Of course, you've mentioned De Bruyne, you know, Lukaku, Mertens with a fantastic goal last night. They are a very, very good side defensively, you know, very strong.
Robbie, heading into this tournament, a lot of talk was saying that the host Russians are one of the worst, if not the worst host nation ever to play in the World Cup. And then they go out there and have a convincing 5-0 win. And I know it's Saudi Arabia, but are the Russians as bad as we all thought they were? Or maybe they're a decent side and they have a chance to progress?
That's a good question. You can only beat what's put in front of you. So I thought Saudi Arabia and Tunisia are probably the worst two teams I've seen in the competition. England scraped past Tunisia, and Russia were very convincing against the poor Saudi Arabia. You know, they defended deep, but you've got to say, with Golovin, who's an exceptional talent, and I'm seeing him a lot, they scored 5 goals. It's a huge game. I think it's 2 o'clock your time, isn't it? Yeah. Where they take on Egypt, Mo Salah will be back. That's going to be a different test for Russia. But I don't think they're a very good time. What are they? The lowest ranked team in the competition. If they win tonight, they'll be the first side through into the next round. So a lot of emphasis on that. You know, it's going to be a tough game for them to see. Well, 2 o'clock your time.
Robbie Savage, our guest. Give me a sense of all the teams that maybe were a little less than in the first round. I mean, Germany's the obvious one because they have no points. But Brazil drew. I thought France was really fortunate. Fortunate on the penalty call. I don't feel about them even, Robbie, like I felt about England and Belgium. I didn't think they dominated Australia at all. Is there a superpower that's in a little bit of trouble that you look at and go, they might get through, but how they're going to win 4 knockout matches, I don't know.
It's the holders, Germany. You know, coming into the competition, I think they lost 5 straight games. And then, you know, the way Mexico opened them up at times, you know, the way they attacked, you know, Hummels and Boateng, it was you know, so good to watch from a neutral perspective. You'd worry about Spain a little bit, losing their coach, you know, days before the competition, an inexperienced coach who didn't do that well with Real Oviedo, Herrero, who played for Bolton Wanderers in England. You know, it's a big task for him. So I think Spain, and you've got to look at Argentina, Messi missing a penalty. And I don't know, guys, what you, but in England, we always have the debate, who's better, Ronaldo or Messi? I don't know what your thoughts are. I'd like to ask you two in a minute, but after seeing Ronaldo score a hat-trick against Spain, Messi missing a penalty, before this competition, 5 Ballon d'Ors each, I was always thinking, who is the best? They're both on a different planet. But in this World Cup so far, it's just convinced me 51% for Ronaldo, 49% for Messi. what are you guys going with?
Well, Robbie, I have a personal experience with one of your producers. I know both your producers, by the way, Simon Cross, very, very well. And I know Mike Holt. Yeah. And Mike Holt, by the way, it's amazing to me. You have a podcast called World Cup Breakfast. I've lived with both those guys. Those guys don't do anything before 11 a.m. How can they help you with a breakfast podcast? They get up and have lunch about 4 p.m. Are you kidding?
Greg, they used their initiative very well because it's the World Cup and I'm called Robbie Savage. I said, come up with a name. World Cup Breakfast with Robbie Savage. Brilliant.
So Mike Holt and I go to Portugal, Austria at the Euros, and we're sitting behind the Austria net in the second half. And Mr. Ronaldo gets a penalty. And I've got money on the line, Robbie. I don't wager anymore. That's a loser's battle. I want to put my kids to university. So Ronaldo slaps his penalty right off the post. So I've seen him miss a penalty from like 30 feet away. So I thought about that when Messi missed his. Messi's was saved. Yeah. Ronaldo just missed his. And I'm like, oh, Ronaldo's better? I saw it in person. And he probably cost me like 38 euro. I had a rough night that evening. Plus, I had to watch Austria.
So if you had your last £10 in your pocket, somebody said to you, right, you can either pay to watch Messi or Ronaldo, who are you paying that £10 towards?
Raheem Sterling. That's Ronaldo. My answer. I'm being very Gareth Bale, your countryman. Gareth Bale. That's who I'm going with.
Yo, what a player. What a goal.
We miss him. We miss him at this tournament. Robbie Savage's World Cup Breakfast, available for download on all sides of the planet. We loved having you on. You are a superstar. Thank you for doing this for us.
Thanks, guys.